Thank you, Paul Berkus, worship leader at Eagle Heights. He's a professional Christian counselor by trade. And brother, thank you. God bless you so much for getting up early every Tuesday morning and being here and leading us to the throne of grace. John Blankenship, could you come up here and open us in prayer? John is one of the men that works indirectly with the, he works directly with the Sheriff's Department in firearms and teaches and is employed at FedEx and has been a faithful brother and man of God for a long time. Thank you, brother.
Good morning. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for this day and this opportunity to come and worship and praise you. We just ask that you would bless everything that's done here today and it all be done to your glory. And I pray that each one of us as we leave today will leave better than we came in here. And just be with everybody that's here. Bless our speakers today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Many of you know yesterday the gospel was proclaimed by several billion people through the memorial service of Queen Elizabeth, through the messages at Westminster, Windsor. All through the day, Jesus Christ had preeminence in just about everything that took place in her memorial. And then the country of England had 2 minutes of total silence in respect for her life and what impact she had over 70 years in England. My mom's from England. She's from a little community called Kingsland, Norfolk, about 90 miles north of London. And the Queen and the King's winter home is called Sandringham. It's about 6 miles from where my mom and my grandparents lived. They had a pub in England in King's Lynn called the Lord's and the Pier for 40-something years. And my dad met my mom during the Berlin airlift. And it's just a real blessing to be able to see one person's impact globally, to have 2 billion people listening to the gospel message that was preached via cell phones and television and internet yesterday. And one thing that you learned from that memorial service is the respect that certain cultures have for individuals and for deity and the things that happen. And Sherry Bratcher, come up here. I want you to introduce your husband as he leads us in the Pledge of Allegiance. And the utmost respect I have for Vietnam veterans, Chester Berryhill that joins us on Monday night, Ray Bratchard's a Vietnam veteran, and Sherry posted, I asked her to read what she posted on Facebook yesterday about her husband before he leads the Pledge of Allegiance, and it just puts in perspective the respect that we need to have for our law enforcement officials, for our government, for our flag, and that's one thing I think our culture, our society has lost is respect. And this really blessed my heart when I saw this. Sherry, if you could read this before Ray comes up.
Yesterday, I was reading some of the books many of y'all are probably familiar with that are Chicken Soup for the Soul, Chicken Soup for Mothers, Chicken Soup at Work, Chicken Soup for Cat Lovers. And as I was reading about September the 11th, 2001, and the heroism and the bravery of thousands of people and the stories that they told about 9/11, about the cab drivers that carried people free all over the city and about the canine dogs that sniffed at the rubble trying to find bodies and the pit that they couldn't even go into. And I went into the Florida room where my husband was watching TV and he was crying. And I said, what's wrong? Are you hurt? What's wrong? And he said, the Queen of England just was recognized in America singing My Country 'Tis of Thee at the end of her service, and she planned her whole funeral. And he was moved by the recognition she gave to the United States. And I started thinking about my husband, how much he's a Purple Heart veteran from Vietnam, and was wounded in Vietnam, but he's a staunch patriot and supporter of the American flag. Last week, as I was having a dinner for some people, I had bought a bunch of memorabilia with American flags on the napkins and the tablecloth, and, you know, everybody uses American flags nowadays for everything. They put it on everything. They just, you would think in recognition. And my husband asked me for a napkin, and I said, there's some napkins right by your plate. I had American flag napkins everywhere. And he said, I won't wipe my mouth on American flag. And, you know, instead of being upset, I was just moved that he was that patriotic. And he's said that in many other ways. He's very, very respectful of the flag. And I just wanted you to know that whenever we have Thanksgiving dinners at our house and he finds out that one of my grandchildren didn't vote, you know, he will give them a big lecture because, I mean, that's why our servicemen are over there fighting everywhere in the world for our country because of that flag. That flag is stood for many, many people, many, many people that died and shed their blood for the USA.
Y'all rise for the Pledge of Allegiance, please, led by Ray Bratcher.
Thank you. It's not only for the soldiers that were over there fighting, it's for first responders, all people in the first responding element of our society that we should be thankful in a special way. Follow me, ladies and gentlemen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you.
Back in the 80s, when I was working for the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, we were having a banquet out at the University of Memphis. And I contacted Coach Tom Landry, who was the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, to see if he would be our spring banquet speaker. And I got a letter back from him saying he couldn't fit that into his schedule. Well, I had a friend, Joe Rogers, who had a construction company in Nashville. He was ambassador to France under Reagan. And he was having Coach Landry speak up in Nashville on a Tuesday morning. And I worked it out through Coach Landry to have him stop in Memphis for about 3 hours and to speak at the University of Memphis. And we had such a tight window, I contacted the sheriff's department. I said, look, I need some motorcycle escorts to get Coach Landry from the airport out to University of Memphis. And we had six motorcycle escorts. The men got to meet Coach Landry as he flew in on a commercial airline. And that night, the weather was so bad coming out of Memphis, FedEx closed up, and we had to get him on a special flight up to Nashville to speak the next morning. But the Sheriff's Department, I just have the utmost respect for in Shelby County. I mean, law enforcement, what they have to deal with on a daily basis, 24/7. I'm going to ask Daniel to come up and introduce Mr. Bonner, Sheriff Bonner. I had a chance to spent a little bit of time with him at the Memphis Islamic Center a couple months ago when the candidates were all speaking and they each had about 4 minutes. And I just saw this man's heart. I saw a real humble servant, a man that I knew respected the Lord. And then when I heard him share at Discipling Men the other day, him sharing his testimony, and he said he didn't like to get up early in the morning. And so I asked him if he could come to a garage, to a little camp meeting and share. So, Daniel, if you could come up and just share briefly an overview, too, of what the chaplaincy does for the Shelby County Sheriff's Department. I know Mitch is here, too, one of your chaplains. But Daniel is also a pastor here in Memphis. And if you could introduce and pray before Sheriff Bonner speaks.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here again this week, 2 weeks in a row. And being able to share the word last week, I really appreciate that opportunity. You know, the Sheriff's Department is so much more than what a lot of people think of right away. You think of crime and think of incidents that you hear on the news, but our Sheriff's Department is so involved in the community and serving in the community. And it's just a privilege for me to be able to volunteer and serve in the Sheriff's Department. And David said it, I mean, it's integrity, the Sheriff's Department. I've just grown to appreciate so many of their leaders. And so it's a pleasure this morning to present to you the leader of leaders. And but before that, last week I spoke about the chaplaincy, and our number one mission is to serve the ones who work on the law enforcement side of the Sheriff's Department. There is another chaplaincy that serves in the jail and on the correction side. But we serve, and I shared some examples of how we serve the deputies. But today, just to highlight another side of it, is we also, by being there, are able to serve the citizens that are involved in incidents. And we talked about the deputies in a 20-year career, maybe will go through 180 or more traumatic incidents. And so that's our priority, are the deputies. But for those families that are also going through, it may be a tragic car crash or, you know, we had one of our guys, I like to kind of present it through examples. We had one of our pastors just a few months ago respond to a young man that had deceased in a car at a gas station. And so they called the chaplain, they called this pastor, and he was able to go to the scene. The father and mother showed up. They were separated, divorced. I'm not sure the exact details, but he was able to get there and call their pastors to come to the scene, pray with them, call some friends as well that were able to come and drive them, because he really didn't feel like they were in the condition to drive after that scene. And it was just one of those deals where he was able to take and spend some time with those folks and let the deputies do the work that they had to do. And we hear more feedback from that, from the citizens. In 2021, I was called to a drowning of a 4-year-old. And in the same year, a drowning of an 86-year-old. And I went one night to Pete and Sam's just to eat dinner in regular clothes, nothing that showed that I was with the Sheriff's Department. And the hostess came up to me and she said, "You are a chaplain with the Shelby County Sheriff's Department, aren't you?" And I said, "Yeah, I am." And she said, "You were at my grandmother's house when she drowned." And she said, "You don't know how much that meant to us that you were there and you could minister to us." And I went back months later to a rehearsal dinner at the same, and she came back up to me again, and she said, "We keep meeting here." She said, "Thank you again for what you do with the Sheriff's Department." Well, Sheriff Bonner is the head, and he leads these tremendous outreaches, some that I didn't know existed even after being in the Sheriff's Department for a while, but we have volunteer services that go out and minister to shut-ins and people that can't get out, checking on them. There's days where food is given out. There's ministries to some of our schools, and maybe Sheriff Bonner will share some of that, but they've adopted places around the city where they minister to people who really have needs. So I'm so proud to be a part of the team. Sheriff Bonner, I don't get to talk to him a whole lot because we're at a lot of events, but he's always busy. He's always going, and he's kind of the parallels between a sheriff and pastor. I think he's 24 hours on call, 7 days a week, 365 days. He doesn't get a day off. And he doesn't go home at 4:30 or 5 o'clock. He's going to county commission meetings and going to things like this to speak. And He's going all the time. And one of the things that I appreciate about him is that he's a person that loves people. And I see that. I go to graduations. I go to promotional ceremonies. I go to retirement receptions. And he's always speaking to the families. He's speaking to the officers, the young officers coming in. I mean, it's just like a father up there giving advice. And not all of our sheriffs have been there and done that, but he's been there and done that. He started as a patrolman and came up through the ranks, and he knows what they go through. He knows what they do. And just one more thing, we were at a promotion ceremony last Tuesday, and quite a few were promoted, and he said to them as leaders, he said, I want y'all to know, not every mistake and every time these guys mess up is a punishment discipline time. He said, some of those are a teaching time. And he said, I want you guys to lead these guys by caring for them and being an example. And that's his heart. So it's my honor today to present to you Sheriff Floyd Bonner Jr. He's just starting his second term. And so, Sheriff, God bless you. Let me pray for you real quick. Father, I thank you for Sheriff Bonner. Lord, we thank you for his leadership. We thank you for the strength that you give him. Lord, we ask that you will use him today and you'll use him, Lord, as he leads our city, our county, Lord, as the top peace officer. And Lord, we just pray that through him, that this county will know your peace. We thank you that he's a man of God. We thank you that he loves you and he's not ashamed of that. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning to all. Good morning. I still don't like getting up early in the morning. Still, I still have my morning voice. I hadn't quite. I tried to get a couple cups of coffee and tried to talk a little bit with Marie and everything so I could get this morning voice off of me. But it's still difficult for me to do that. But praise God. It's such a pleasure to be here this morning and going through the devotional service here in testimonies. And it's just good to be here. Mitch, thank you for being here. Others being here, Marie, and all some of the friends that I know here. It is indeed a pleasure to be here. As they said, as Pastor said, I'm Sheriff Floyd Bonner. I'm your sheriff, whether you want me to be or not. I just got elected for four more years, but I thank God for the opportunity and thank God for all that he's done for me in my lifetime. Tell you a little bit about myself, and I don't have anything scripted. I seem to do better when I don't write stuff down than I do when I do write things down. But tell you a little bit about myself. I grew up with a mother and a father. My father was a Memphis Police Department officer, but grew up in a home with a mother and father that took us to church from sunup to sundown. We went on Sundays, we started at Sunday schools and didn't end the night until BTU late that Sunday night. Sung in the choir, youth choir, as I was growing up. Was baptized at a relatively early age. Found the Lord and been on that battlefield ever since then. I don't mind telling anyone that I believe in God and that I am a Christian. And it's important for us to know that you know that you know that you're a child of God. And I talk to these young officers now and tell them, you know, and you're not supposed to really mix religion and government per se. You know, technically, you know, we're supposed to keep it separate. But you try to talk to these young people all the time and say that it's just more to this thing called life than just living. You know, that there's an afterlife. You want to go to heaven. You want to be a part of the great holy choir one day. And so you talk to these people about that, young people. But as growing up, I was the oldest of four kids, and My mom and dad, my dad was a deacon. My mom did everything in the church. I mean, everything. She made uniforms for us when we were singing in the choir and the whole nine yards. So fast forward a little bit, I was telling the men group as I was growing up, and when I got old enough to go off to college, you know how you men, you know, you kind of say, you know what, I don't have to go to church this Sunday. You know, mama, dad is not there to make me get up out of bed. So I kind of took a break from church. But as I told the men group that morning, I never not knew where I was supposed to be. So even when I didn't go to church, and it wasn't, trust me, it wasn't that long. It was a little something on my, a little parrot on my shoulder that was telling me, what are you doing here in bed? What are you doing sitting down? You know where you're supposed to be. So I went through that little, I guess I call it a little rebellious stage at the time. And when I wanted to call myself being grown, and I was going to do what I wanted to do. And but we soon got back in church, and I started going to church, and I met my lovely wife, Audrey, who I've been married to. We made 40 years in August. August the 7th was 40 years for us. And now, she would tell you 45 because she said we dated for 5 years. And I told her, I said, that don't count, you know, because you could have been replaced during those 5 years. So easily replaced. So that doesn't count. But one of the things that my wife and I, we have two sons. And one of the things I'd always said about myself, that I was going to marry a Christian woman. And I always prayed that God would send me a Christian woman because I wanted my children, and I was hoping I was going to have children, but I wanted my children to grow up in church and know the Lord and have an opportunity to understand His goodness and His mercy. And I married that woman. That woman that I married, she's so much of a Christian woman. She keeps me grounded when I kind of get to feeling myself, you know, or let's say smelling yourself, you know. She kind of brings me back down to reality a lot of times. So we've been married, 40 years, and we have two sons, and we raised our boys up in church, and both of them are baptized and Christian young men, and sometimes I wonder if the devil had got hold of them, because my youngest son could be a handful sometime. But it was a blessing that neither one of them ever got in any trouble or anything. They now live in Atlanta, and they have their own families. My wife and I have three grandkids. We're so proud of them. And when we're down there in Atlanta, one of my wife's biggest joy is to take them to church. And my boys, they've kind of bounced around to different churches in Atlanta, but it doesn't matter. Audrey wants to take the grandkids to church. You know, we're going to go to church where we're in Atlanta, because usually when we do come back to Memphis, it's usually on a Sunday afternoon. So we're going to go to church before we leave and hit the road. And she talks to the grandkids about God and about serving God. And so when I say that I married a Christian woman, ladies and gentlemen, I married a Christian woman. She prays and prays. She prays for me. And certainly over the course of years, I know that my prayer has been more diligent and more focused. And I thank God for that. I was telling the men disciple group that my favorite book in the Bible to read, it seems like I always find what I need in the book of Psalms. I just like reading the book of Psalms. I don't know what it does for any of you, but it seems like no matter what I'm going through, whatever the crisis is in my life, I can find what I need in the book of Psalms. I keep a Bible on my desk at work, and sometimes I ask my secretary, Karen, to close the door, give me a minute, and sometimes I have to read some of that book of Psalms just to find, you know, just to get me through the day. Excuse me, I told you I still got this morning voice. Just to get me through the day and some days and stuff, because it can be challenging. Leading an organization with about 2,000 employees, trust me, I've got about 2,001 problems, you know. But it's just good to It's good to reflect sometime. And then sometime I need quiet time. You know, they tell you about, you know, sometimes you have to find a quiet spot in your house and pray and meditate. And I have that place in my house. I pray every morning. I just like getting up, starting my day with prayer. Pray before I came here. And I was telling the men ministry about an incident, and how much time I got, Dave? Okay, all right. So I pray every morning before I get up, but one of the things that I share with the ministry, men ministry the other morning, was that I have truly, truly, truly lived a blessed life. And I am so thankful to God for the opportunities that he has given me. And I don't take it lightly at all, because I have prayed for things that may have not have worked out the way I wanted it, but it worked out. It worked out the way God planned for it to work out. And I was sharing with the ministry the other morning about an episode that I had in 2012, and I really want you to listen to me and hear me. Back in 2012, I had what was called simple sinus surgery. Anybody ever heard about a simple surgery? Well, that simple surgery didn't quite work out, but it did. But I had a sinus surgery in 2012, and I came home, and I was sitting in the den because I couldn't lay down. The doctor told me, do not lay down. You got to sit up in a chair, and I didn't have a recliner, but I had a chair and an ottoman. So I came home about Tuesday afternoon, about 2 o'clock. So I sit in the chair and I sat there on the ottoman. My wife, she fed me and gave me a bowl of soup. And I just slept all day Tuesday, all day Wednesday. I really just slept the whole day, didn't really wake up. Drank just maybe a few swallows of water and went back to sleep. So Thursday morning rolls around. So my wife wakes me up. This is about 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning. And she wakes me up and she asks me, she says, how are you feeling? And I said, well, I think I feel pretty good and stuff. So she says, well, I'm going to go to work this morning. And my wife, she's retired since then. But she says, I'm going to go to work and I'll see you this afternoon. I said, fine. So she gets up and she goes to work. Well, now it's around about 8:30, quarter to nine, and I'm sitting there in the den and I'm watching Sports Center. I never will forget it. I was watching Sports Center that morning, and it dawned on me that I hadn't went to the bathroom. You know what I'm saying? You know, most of us have to go to the bathroom in the mornings and stuff. Well, then when I was sitting there, I was going like, you know what? I don't even remember using the bathroom since about Wednesday morning, Tuesday or something. I said, so let me go use the bathroom. I said, surely I got to use the bathroom. So I get up and I walk to a half bathroom outside of our kitchen. Well, when I got to the bathroom, I used the bathroom. I'm washing my hands and I felt a sensation in my chest. Now, I didn't know what it was. I didn't feel like I was having a heart attack. I just felt real funny all across my chest. And I kept saying, I said, this is not right. I said, I don't feel good. This just doesn't feel right. So as I'm passing out of the bathroom, I'm passing the garage door, and something told me to open the garage door. And I let the garage up, but I locked the door to the house coming into the garage. And I don't know why I did that. But anyway, I go back into the den and I'm sitting there and I said, you know what? I'm going to give this about 5 minutes. And if I don't feel better in 5 minutes, I'm going to call somebody. And so I gave it about three because I knew I wasn't feeling right. So I called a friend of mine who's assistant chief of sheriff's office, Newt Schaefer. And I called Chief Schaefer and I told him he was out at the substation in Arlington. And I called him. I said, Newt, come to the house and take me to the hospital. And he was like, what's wrong? What's wrong? I said, I don't know what's wrong, but I know I don't feel right. And I know I need to go to the hospital. And so he said, I'm on my way. That's all. He hung up the phone. Now, many of you might ask, why didn't you call your wife? Well, I knew me and my wife were going to go back and forth. She was going, well, what's wrong? How do you feel? Well, tell me this, tell me that. And Schaefer is just kind of a no-nonsense kind of person. You know, he's not going to ask me a whole lot of questions. He's going to do what I ask. But, you know, my wife wanted to, I knew she was going to go back and forth with me. So I didn't even call my wife, right? So I go back to the back of our house and I go to the bathroom. Now, mind you, I'm in my house clothes. I got a pair of sweatpants on. The bottom is ripped out and everything. But these are the most comfortable pants I had, you know, and I'm convalescing from surgery. So I go back through our foyer, go down the hallway, through our bedroom to our bathroom. And so I get back in the bathroom and I decide that I need to wash my face, brush my teeth. Hadn't done any of that in a couple of days. So I started brushing my teeth, and I hit my teeth about three times, and then all of a sudden I felt really, really bad, like I was getting ready to pass out. And I said, oh, let me get out of here. Let me go back up front toward the front of the house, because Schaefer's on the way. And so I come out of our bathroom, and I come out of the bedroom, and I get in the hallway, and I could feel myself passing out. And I passed out in the hallway coming out of our bathroom. And as I was laying there, kind of semi-unconscious, I said, God, don't let me die right here. I didn't know whether I was going to live or die, but I kept saying, Lord, don't let me die right here. I don't want my wife to come through this foyer and turn the corner and find my body in this hallway, because my wife's a little scary too, you know. So I said, Lord, don't let me die right here. And I don't know how to explain it to you or anybody else, but the next time when I was conscious again, I was at the back door of my house at the garage, the same door that I had let the garage door up, but I locked the door. Now, this was around Christmas time. My wife had Christmas stuff everywhere, little trinkets all through the foyer, through the den, through our dining room, because there was two ways I could have went, and to this day, I don't know if I went through the den or if I went through the dining room. But I remember coming up, waking up, and I was looking up, and I was looking at the doorknob in the back door. Now, that scared me at first, you know, because I was like, how did I get here? Well, I don't remember walking through the house. I don't remember seeing any of the stuff. And so I was laying there, and I thank God for getting there, because I said, well, at least you're not going to let me die in the hallway here. So I'm at the back door, and I remember I could hear the medics outside opening the door, trying to get into the house. And they couldn't get in the house, and I was laying there, and I was looking up at the doorknob, and I said to myself, I said, Floyd, if you don't open this door, you're not going to live. You know, you got to let these emergency people in. And I heard them talking about we're going to have to break the door down and all of this stuff. So I was able to muster up enough strength, and I opened the door and let the paramedics in. So they took me, they got me up, and they took me and put me in the ambulance. And as most people would think, you know, they're thinking I'm having a heart attack or something. Well, I knew I wasn't having a heart attack. I said, no, you know, I've never had one before, but I didn't think that was the feeling that I was feeling across my chest. So the whole time that we're going to the hospital, you know, and I'm actually praying, and Lord, I don't know what it is, but just take care of me. Just take care of me. So we go on to the hospital, and I'm going to shorten this story up a little bit. Anyway, they do MRIs, and one of the things that a young lady asked me when I came out of the MRI machine, she said, Mr. Bonner, have you ever had surgery on your chest? I said, no, never. Only surgery I've ever had was appendicitis on my honeymoon, by the way. I said, that's the only surgery I ever had, was in the sinus surgery that I just recently had. And so then she asked me, she said, well, do you have a necklace on or anything? I said, no. I said, I don't. And so I said, so what's going on? She said, oh, don't worry about it. Doctor tell you about it. So now I'm really worried now, because she's not telling me anything. So I get back over there, and the doctor came in, and I never will forget it. He told me, he said, Mr. Bonner, you have multiple blood clots in your lungs. And he said, your lungs look like they've been shot with a shotgun. And he said, you had so many. He said, most of the time, 90% of the people don't live the first hour. And he said, only about 50% of the people live 3 hours into this episode. And he looked at his watch and he said, well, you're about 3.5 hours in, so I guess you're going to live. That's exactly the way he told it to me. You know, he said, I guess you're going to live. You're about 3.5 hours in. So with that being said, you know, they did some other procedures and stuff, but I had these blood clots. Now, through no fault of the doctors on that, and I will tell you this, you know how when you go to the hospital, the doctors get you up immediately. They get you up, they make you walk and stuff. Well, I didn't do that when I came home on that Tuesday. I didn't really get up to that Thursday morning, drank very little fluids, didn't really eat. So I don't blame the doctor at all. You know, I think this was just another chapter in my life, if you will. So I don't blame the doctor. Look, if you need sinus surgery, have it. Don't listen to me and get scared. But so I did all these things on my own. But when I got up, I wound up staying in intensive care for about 3 or 4 days. And then when I was laying there, and even when I went home, I really started looking at the course of my life as to how I had gotten to where I was, and my family, my wife, my children. You know, when you have those medical emergencies or any kind of major challenges in your life, you start reflecting over your life and you start wondering, you know, well, I never will forget when I was at home, because when I got home, I still had a lot of problems. Couldn't figure it out. My blood pressure would drop. I'd get dizzy, almost pass out sitting on the couch. I mean, just sitting down, I would almost pass out. So I'm sitting there, woe is me, and I'm praying, God, what is going on? You know, why am I feeling the way that I'm feeling? And I had a friend of mine that called me, and she told me, she says, look, I'm going to pray for you. But she said, Floyd, I don't know what it is, but God has something else for you. And I didn't understand it at the time, what she was meaning and everything. But she kept telling me, she said, Floyd, you ain't going nowhere. She said, God has something else for you to do. And I said, okay. And so sitting there, I probably stayed at home for about 2.5, 3 months because I couldn't work. I was too afraid to put my weapon on because I was working downtown at the time and was too afraid that I'd be walking down the sidewalk and pass out. So one day a friend of mine came over and he gave me a cross, a pendulum with a cross, and I wear it. I told you this happened back in 2012, but I want to show it to you. I wear this cross every single day, every single day. And up until then, I would never want to wear a cross because I always felt like I wasn't worthy. I was potty mouthed, and, you know, I worked in narcotics, and you could imagine some of the things that I did and had to do and say and all of those things. I used to often wonder, being an undercover narcotics officer, would God hold me accountable for the lies I had to tell when I worked in that division? And what I mean by that is, when you're working undercover, most of the time guys would ask you, are you the police? And you had to act a certain way, talk a certain way. You had to talk the street language. And I was very good at talking the street language. And I understood what I had to do. So I was talking to my pastor one time, and I said, you know, Pastor, this is my job. This is how I go home every day. This is what's going to keep me safe. You know, I have to talk a certain way. I have to, and constantly lying, because the whole thing is a lie. You know, when you're doing undercover work and you're trying to talk this guy into bringing you a bunch of dope, or you're getting ready to try to sell him dope. So anyway, that's another part of my life as well that I like to forget. I enjoyed the job, but we'll put that one in the past. But when my friend brought me the cross over to the house, I don't know how to say it. It was so moving to me, and it made me comfortable. You know, my mom, I didn't understand this. My mom used to tell me all the time, you know, you need to keep your mind on the Lord. You need to keep him in your presence all the time through seen and unseen things. And until I didn't understand that until I got that cross around my neck. So I tell people all the time, when you see me reaching up at my chest, I'm not having a heart attack. I'm just reaching for that cross. So, but it just meant so much to me, and it still means so much to me. You know, God has been such a blessing in my life. I think God has used me in a number of ways. As Pastor Danny was saying this morning, you know, when I was elected sheriff in 2018, one of the things that I wanted to do was get the sheriff's office more involved in the community. And I become more, or I'm more involved in the community. I try not to ever say no to anyone that wants me to come and speak. And certainly appreciate Danny and the opportunity to be here this morning just to share with you a little of my life story. But I want you to know that you have a God-fearing man in the sheriff's office, that I believe in God, I trust God, and I just believe that he's going to do wonderful things for this community. Now, I shouldn't have went as far. I go to Oak Springs Church, which is on Godwin Road. My pastor is Michael Martin, and I have a very good relationship, close relationship with my pastor. Everything that I do politically and other things, you know, I always call Reverend Martin and ask him to come pray and pray for me and pray for my family and pray for our community. And as I lead this day every day, I always start off with a prayer, and I pray for us. I don't not only pray for me and my family, but I pray for this community, because I want this community. You know, we all want to see change in this community. And I know there's some things that we've got to do, but one of the things that we've got to do is pray, ladies and gentlemen. We've got to pray, because I'm telling you, the way things are going now, It's just so much different than it was even when I was growing up. Most of us are older in this room this morning, and I'm sure every single one of you have a testimony how God has come into your life and has changed things. And a lot of the things that I believe in is that if we don't pray, then we have no hope. We have no hope whatsoever. Sure, I'm so proud of how the ministries of Memphis are really starting to step up and get involved with the community, get involved with the children. And that's work that we've all got to do. You know, I was telling, we didn't get in this shape overnight, and it's going to take us a little while to get out of it. But if any of you come from farmers and know anything about farmer, I come from a long list of farmers on my mother and my father's side. But you know, you plow the field, you disc the field, you plant the seed. Little rain's got to fall for that seed to grow. So what I'm hoping is that we're in our rainy season before those plants and those seeds start to grow in our community. We can turn this thing around. I love Memphis, Tennessee. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else in this country than Memphis, Tennessee. I tell people all the time that no matter what, my wife and I are going to be here. No, we're not going to Atlanta chasing grandkids or anything. You know, we're going to stay right here. This is our home. This is where my wife is from. We're not going anywhere. And we're so appreciative of the opportunities that we have and the platform that God has allowed me to be on, because as the sheriff, as Danny said, you know, I get a chance to speak all the time. Now, morning times are not my best time, but I don't mind. It's just a blessing from God that I had an opportunity to speak into young people's lives, because our kids are really just, There's so many challenges for them, things that we didn't have to go through with Facebook, TikTok, all the other things that our children would see. I remember growing up as a kid, my mama used to tell me all the time, said, boy, that music going to be the death for you. That music, you need to quit listening to that music and stuff. You know, it's going to be horrible and stuff. Well, I'm finding myself reliving my childhood through my kids, because when my kids were growing up, you know, it was rap music and all the other distractions and stuff. And I find it so funny now where my sons will tell their children, you know, certain music they won't allow their children to listen to. And my twins, my oldest grandkids are five. So my oldest son, he's so funny now because he acts like he's 75, but he's so particular about what they watch on TV, what they listen to. And I'm so proud of him because he plays such a big part in their lives. But that's what we've got to do. We've got to go back to our parenting skills. You know, when we grew up as kids, look at us all now. You know, it might not felt good, because I got a lot of whippings coming up. Might not have felt good or tasted good, but, you know, mom and daddy was right. You know, they were right in the way that you raise your kids and what you do and how you do it. And I'd like to think that I think where we've gone wrong here, is my personal opinion, is that the parents are not being parents anymore. You know, I see parents that are their child's friend instead of the parent. One of the things, too, that I'm most proud of, and I know I may be going a little bit too long here, but one of the things that I'm really proud of is that both of my sons, when they got married, they invited me to their bachelor party. Now, you could imagine, man, I'm talking about I'm daddy, and I got invited to their bachelor party. And I told the boys, I said, and I turned them both down. I said, you know what? I said, thank you for inviting me. I really, really appreciate it that you think that much of your dad for me to come to your bachelor party. But I can't go to your bachelor party and be your dad, too. Now, most of these men in this room, y'all know what goes on at bachelor parties. You know, they can get a little out of hand. And I was hoping my boys' bachelor parties wouldn't get out of hand. But I told them, I said, I can't be your father and be in that kind of surrounding with you. You know, I don't go clubbing. I don't go to clubs anyway. But I can't. Certain places that I, you know, I always felt like that there had to be a border between me and my sons. And I love them dearly, and they know I love them. But it has to be a wall. At some point, I had to be daddy. And so it's certain things that I'm not going to do with you, and certain things you're not going to do with me. And they respect me. I know they probably let some words go sometime that they shouldn't, but they don't let them go around me because they respect their father, and I certainly do appreciate it, just like I respect my dad. My dad's still here. My mom passed away 24 years ago with breast cancer, but my dad is still here. He's 88 years old, and it's a level of respect that I still give to him, and I think that's where my sons come from now. And I think that's what we've got to do as parents, as grandparents, and all of us, that we've got to speak into these young people's lives. We can't be afraid. We've got to put the armor of God on and speak to these young people. You know, you don't think that when you speak into a child's life that, you know, no, they're not listening or they're not hearing. Yes, they are. Trust me, they truly, truly are. I talk to so many incarcerated youth in jail that said that they wish they had had a mentor. They wish they had had somebody to speak into their lives, and they really believe that the trajectory of their lives would have changed. So when you see a child and he might not be doing it the right way, just say something to him. You might think that, you know what, that kid ain't paid attention to me, but yes, they are. Trust me, they truly are. And we're going to get this thing right. We can't arrest our way out of jail. We can't put everybody in jail. And it's going to take citizens. It's going to take the churches. It's going to take all kinds of the nonprofits that we're involved with. It's going to take all of us doing the hard work. And it is hard work. This is heavy lifting to change the trajectory of our country as well as our community. So continue to pray for us here at the Sheriff's Office. Thank y'all so much for having me this morning. I hope I said something that maybe you even just learned a little bit more about the sheriff. But if you don't remember nothing else, just know that you have a God-fearing man sitting up there on the ninth floor at 201 Poplar. I love God. I love the Lord. I don't mind telling anyone about it. And I got a good Christian wife, so that keeps me grounded as well. But and my sons, I'm so proud of them. But I can't tell you how much I thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning. So thank you all. Have a wonderful day. And I might have to go back home and take a nap.
thank you. Ken, Daniel, Mitch, Ed, y'all come up here. Bill, Clipper, we're going to lay hands on Sheriff Bonner, and we're going to pray for him. I'm going to ask Ken Napper to do this, to lead us. Every Monday night, we get together, and we pray for law enforcement. Paul, the men come up here. Roselle, we want everyone, the men, to come up here and lay hands on
come on, man.
Floyd Bonner.
Come on, man.
The ladies are welcome, too. But we're not just doing this morning. We do this on Monday nights. We pray for law enforcement.
Thank you.
Last night, Henry Hutton, who owns this property, zoomed in from Colorado, and that was his prayer focus, was law enforcement last night.
Us and Kit, send our prayers to you, too.
Okay, y'all can do the COVID prayers. But Ken normally prays for our law enforcement on Monday night, and I want to have Roselle finish up. But Ken, let's just pray for him. We appropriate the blood of Jesus over our sheriff. We just praise God for a God-fearing law enforcement sheriff for Shelby County.
Heavenly Father, we just bring our brother before your throne, Father God. Lord, you tell us in your word, blessed God, Lord God, that you've instituted, God, this government and this law enforcement, God, for our safety, Father God. Lord, I just pray, God, as you Solomon asked for wisdom, God, and knowledge, God, to lead his people, Lord God, that you would just touch my brother, touch Brother Bonner, Lord God. I just pray, God, that you would give him the wisdom of God, Lord God, to lead, God, his department, Lord, for the city of Memphis and for Shelby County. Father God, we just thank you, Lord God, for his life. We thank you, Father God. Lord, that even now, God, Lord, that you are touching him, God, Lord, and speaking into his heart, Father God. We just thank you for him, Lord God, and we pray, God, for his safety. We pray for the safety of all the men and women that serve under him, Father God. And Lord, we just love you this morning and thank you, Father God, that you have put people in these positions, God, for our good, Lord God. And Lord, we love you this morning. We praise you this morning. We worship you this morning, God. We thank you for the kingdom of God. We thank you, Father God, Lord, that for your Holy Spirit, for the word of God, Lord God, that, Lord, that you are with us, God, Lord. And we just pray, God, that we could fulfill all your will in the earth, God. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, Father God. And Lord, we just thank you, God, for Brother Bonner, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for this man, God, that you have called, that you've put in this position, Father God. We honor it, Lord God. We honor him in this position, Father God. And we thank you, Father God. We give you praise, honor, and glory, God, in the precious name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Yes, hallelujah. Father, we thank you for the greatest gift that you've given unto mankind. Lord. None other than the precious, precious Holy Spirit.
Yes,
we
Lord.
Thank you for the leadership that you have instilled in our Brother Bonner.
Yes.
And thank you for his family of love and his circle of influence, Father, that we can go forward, Lord, in this day, understanding, Lord, that we have someone in a position not only that love you, Father, but love the community, love what he does on his job, Lord, and that he's caring about the people. Father, we realize that was Solomon's prayer, that, Lord, you would give him wisdom, knowledge, and understanding how to go in and out before the people. And because he had a concern and a care for the people, Father, You gave him more than enough. We pray that blessing
praise
be upon
God.
Brother Barner, Lord, and,
yes.
and his endeavor to lead the sheriff
yes.
department, Lord, and everything else that's concerning him, Father.
Hallelujah.
We thank
yes.
you that you have given him the victory, Lord, and we bind anything that's unlike you, Father, that's trying to come up against him
yes.
and the direction that you are leading him in. Father, we touch and agree with your word, Father,
yes.
that all things are possible because yes. we are believers and not doubters. We give you
thank
glory,
you,
honor, and praise with thanksgiving
thank you, Jesus.
In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Amen.
Thank you.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Hallelujah. And all that is within me. We're going
to
understand after why praise is a weapon.
Yes,
not for you, yeah, my oldest brother, Bobby Knapper, I don't know if you ever knew him or not. He retired captain on the police department, probably around 2001 to 2003. But he passed, unfortunately, in 2010. But, yeah.
Yes, sir, that's it.
Thank you so much.
I thought I remember the sheriff always.
Yeah.
And my son just made state trooper in Oregon.
Bless you, brother.
Bless you.
Much love
you.
Always.
Thank you for your
yes,
prayer.
Thank God for you, brother.
For your prayer.
Praise
thank
God.
You.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
I tell you, y'all just, because I didn't want to get too churchy with y'all this
week. Get the church. You want to go to the church.
But I'm going to tell you
brother.
Something, y'all.
Can you see Jesus? Because I see him in you.
Man, the thing
I see him in
I've
you. Yes, sir.
That God
I
has
I see him in you.
Y'all just don't know, man.
Ooh.
What a,
yes, we what do.
A, what a life I have. Yeah. And I'm so grateful.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good,
isn't
it?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Every time
that's
I drive by the sheriff's office in Orange, I see your name up there. So I'm going to meet him one
yeah.
day.
Because that's what I live by now.
I'm glad you got a chance to meet me, but...
It's,
I hear
well,
that.
You got our
story. Praise the Lord.
You
can
do that. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's it, bro.
If God's on your side, who can be against you?
That's right.
Right.
That's
your
right.
neighbor love, bro. Yes. That love. Yes, sir.
I enjoy that so much.
Yes, sir.
I try to give.
You're doing it. You're doing it.
Well, you know
you're
what? God's directing, you know, he's got you.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
And I'm a crappy.
Me
and you,
me
and you,
me and you, yes, sir.
Ducks, I let them
yeah.
flow.
Who?
Yeah.
All the time.
Baby, yes, I tell sir. People all the time. I say, y'all just don't know. Y'all got a crab baby.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's
yes, sir.
You know,
that's beautiful.
I'm not
beautiful.
Ain't nothing
cry.
Wrong with me and crying.
No, sir.
No.
No,
no
sir. I'm telling you,
that
do.
That you feel this, but I tell you, we work so hard, man. I just
doing a great job.
When I get mad with the media sometimes,
yeah,
say things because I know how hard.
Yeah, they don't understand.
They don't understand.
The sheriff's office how hard we work.
Right. I had a friend who was in law enforcement 28 years and retired. He was in all over the evidence room in Memphis.
Yeah.
And when he left, he says, you don't understand what goes on.
Yeah.
Look at all the evidence room, all the stuff that's down there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But praise God, brother. We're glad to have you this morning.
Brother Rizel's been a prison ministry for, what, 29 years?
28 years.
Yeah. And we go with him sometimes, Wes Henning.
Yeah.
He goes with me and Mark Luttrell.
Yeah.
And, and so also homeless mission and everything.
Yeah.
Praise God. Yes, sir, Brother King. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Lord.
But Bill.
If you keep in touch, I know how to call you now.
You got that number. Yes, sir. Praise God.
Yes, sir. That'll work.
I'm missing.
We have a good time. I know. Yeah. Good job, brother. Yeah.
So you did get to talk to him?
I talked to him all the time.
Did he ever?
He said nothing. Because I don't really know what went on.
Well,
on
you know, I'm talking about when he kind of.
Yeah.
When you were talking that time about God gives us the power to cast out demons. There was a little stink, I thought.
To stand with the word is the only thing that's going to give us direction. So.
I think he knows he's.
Yeah,
well he don't hardly talk to me much.
You can come, he'll come around. He'll
oh,
come
yeah,
around.
He, God's going to convict him.
Come around. You're going to come around. Here,
I've been telling people, I got to find
yes, sir. We're in the house. I'm mad at you. Yes, sir.
Make a trip.
Yes, sir. Yes,
appreciate
sir.
You, brother.
Bless you, brother. Always, brother Bill. Yes, sir.
Give me a call sometime.
I will.
You're always welcome.
Y'all still doing okay. Okay. I get a chance, I shoot through that.
Good talking to you, bro.
Good, always, brother.
Yes.
Good to see you.
I am a
He has, and I'm still, but, I don't see that. He's still, he's still puts
ALTRU,
Thank you so much. Yeah.
Thank you.
It's good to know.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Where did you train that?
Which one?
It's different places. So you got your license.
Yeah.
Yeah. Insurance and stuff.
I stopped taking insurance years ago. It was way too much. Hey, I'm out of
money. Yeah.
I'm out of money. I know you
go through those phases.
Well, there was something at the time that I had to speak to you about. It was the mental health aspect to it.
I didn't hear you all the stories.
You know, a lot of the projects that I'm doing right now, I can't remember what it specifically was. But you asked about something.
Documentary.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Actually, yeah. Actually, I would love to do a documentary on a couple of the autistic guys that we've kind of walked through and now they're
growing. Yeah, well, you're still growing. So.
But really raising awareness of like how traumatic it can be in society for people with autism because they're just dismissed and disregarded. I mean, they are, you know, a minority group that doesn't really get a lot of attention.
Okay. Let's talk about, get a sponsor or something.
Yeah, because what's funny is...
I can do it fairly. I mean, normally, you know, we wouldn't do this to sell it to foreign and domestic sales, right? It's not for a film. It's for your awareness and everything.
Yeah.
Okay. So I can easily get that done. I got the right film director. I was just trying to think in my mind which film director I would go for. A lower budget, but high quality, you know.
Awesome.
Okay.
Because, what's funny is...
Get a sponsor?
Probably. I mean, we have a lot of supporters.
Or grant?
I don't know about grants.
Well, I have a grant.
I've had people that have talked to me about grants, and I'm like...
Okay.
I'm like... Yeah.
Right now, governors have some money. Let me say something. I want to squeeze in real quick.
Yeah, before I leave. Definitely. Come across people.
Yeah. It's good to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
So you do film production. What's the name of your organization?
MVP for Entertainment Group.
But it's
thank you for
it's
you.
Thank you. Thank
you. 201 Poplar.
Yes, sir.
Because I always tell me I'm going to be, some say I never need.
We have a lot of jokes. We have
a lot of people and I do things and I back in many different ways.
Yeah, it's good. Take care.
Thank you. Good to see you.
But yeah, if we could get it, I'm just trying to think. The editing and doing all that. I'm just trying to think of my people that even the low budget ones, because everybody needs to eat, as well. And they've done so much for free. But I'll see.
I want to get a picture.
And I'll get you in there too. Now he'll hold all your time.
Look what I got in my pocket. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Yep.
Can I get a picture of y'all three together here?
My chain broke on my cross one day.
Floyd, get
you talking about almost having a fit, boy. I told
you all
I'm
just with her.
What about you, David and Pastor? Let's get everyone.
Uno, dos, tres. Uno, dos, tres. Here we go.
You talk about almost having a fit.
Yeah, look at Dan. Look at the sheriff. Let's get John, Daniel, and Mitch. Y'all come up here, get on the side of Floyd. I'm going to do a Facebook post on what y'all are doing.
I'll tell you, I had to cross my pocket for about 3 or 4 days before my chains got there. I'm so happy when that chain got there.
When I put it back on your phone, too.
Do what?
You got a picture of your phone, too?
No, I was just checking.
Let me get John, Daniel, and Mitch in here together.
Okay.
All sheriffs.
Yeah, about the sheriff there.
Oh, man, this baby be suitable for framing right here.
Thank you.
Suitable for the garden.
That's
suitable for the garden.
Thank you for having me. Yes, sir.
I just want you to know, you're getting weekly and daily purchases.
Thank you. Okay.
I mean, that's the least we can do for
you. And I mean that. Thank
I mean, we've been doing it for years.
Yeah.
And we pray for sure.
I've watched the videos and things, but we can talk. As far as for the church
itself, we started off with Brother Jennifer.
I don't really think that would be the setting. But as far as the community things that you're doing and some of the things on, things like on the domestic violence and things on
the
force and all those different things that you do, I'd love to.
And I said, we don't have breakfast, we got coffee, and we just have someone encourage and inspire each other every week. So, Paul's been leading worship for a couple of years here. He's over at Eagle Waters. He's a Christian professional counselor, too. Y'all need to swap. He deals with some really deep questions.
And I put together the Esther and Esther Fund and Esther.
We've hired some officers.
My mom is saying, but she's a child scientist and interviews children.
Okay.
And worked with John Walsh and all that. And all my Hollywood friends that are going pushing against green, like, do you remember Kevin Sorbo from Hercules?
Now we have an officer.
He's in a lot of faith-based films. My friend Cobra. Matt Borlicki,
a middle
guy, he's the shop guy on the Netflix hit series. All of them are really about God. But they're pushing against, like, Rob Schneider, remember him with Adam Sandler?
Yeah.
They're all pushing against the grain. They're going to come here and do films with me, and I have three faith-based
I'll just give you Floyd's seven.
One's called Hillbilly Bible.
Oh, yeah.
It's a music
Let's do it. Good background.
Yeah, this is a great background. Right? You've got the flags and the
yeah.
Well, I've got a story to push on somebody.
Oh, man.
That's my nephew's.
This brother can leave.
He gets
yes,
out a year and a half,
yes,
but he
I told him much
and
I
this girl that was a missionary in China
are pretty much
engaged. It's a crazy story. But everybody's telling me, y'all got to write a book.
Last night you texted me and told me to go to bed early, right?
And I kept thinking about it.
Go to bed while I was watching Monday Night Football. They had two games. They just told me to go to bed. And my wife, she was at her mother's house. And y'all, please pray for my wife. She's going to
inspire.
She has spent. She did Friday, Saturday, and Monday, and Tuesday.
Let's pray right now.
Paul, watch
right.
Absolutely. I worked a warrant. We asked. Right down from where that happens, Shannon Street, on Shannon Street.
Audrey. You weren't even born.
I was born.
A piece that truly passes.
Well, you know how sure.
That was in the 70s, right?
Pastor, thank you. Appreciate this. This is what I carry to
oh, wow.
We're asking the Lord.
I was born for sure. I remember.
Holy Spirit can do.
Now, are you from Memphis?
I am not.
Clarity to religion.
Okay.
Wisdom.
It's like the scene in The Godfather, the third one that says, I try to get out, but they put me back in, I can't get out of here. There's something that I really feel what I'm doing, and especially pushing against media, and I'm about to launch my own television network that will allow the police to have their own chance
to experience.
We got like programming, media politicians, and all the junk out there.
Absolutely.
So I want to push back and put good programming. I mean,
comforts.
Not to be used. I just want good stuff.
Amen.
God says, pray for it. I got to do it right away.
Yeah, thank
you. There's a band out there.
She's bless her heart. She has a sister.
I think the Kindred brothers proved that point with their movies. Like, the stuff people are going to go to.
And then, you know, they all have to take turns spending the night where she can't be alone.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
sweetest ladies that you ever will be.
Yeah.
One of the finest cooks once upon a time that you ever will see. Sit up by the table.
I remember when the faith-based movies first came out. I mean, storyline is always good. But the acting and the storyline and the plot was kind of cheesy, and it's like I can see why people. But then
and everybody,
they started. It's really
your sister. Not only y'all love your mother.
It's just like a movie, but I don't know.
But sometimes what we think is the best care for
your life.
Yeah.
She takes her to all the doctors, then she gets frustrated. But they don't take her.
Right.
I do. You know, so it's always. And I pray for her.
Sure. Yeah.
You just got a hit from the heart.
I really am.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, she's good looking, but I mean, just a good hearted person. And I tell you, she's a prayer warrior. And she prays all the time.
That's right.
I couldn't, God couldn't sit here better. He really could. And I pray.
Good talking to you.
So, every time I get mad with her, I say, well, you ask God for this.
Let me get a picture on my phone.
Yes.
You too.
Oh, me?
You too, yeah.
I thought you meant you.
No,
you need one, too.
There we go. Let me get one. Yeah. Oh, John here. This is a good brother right here.
It's in black and white. Is that okay?
That's all right. It comes up color. I just get saved. Let me show you what happens here when it's black and white. I just hit that thing down there and it goes to color.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you got one of those fancy cars. Which way is it?
That's it right in the corner.
I've been missing it.
Oh, I know, man. It's been tough getting here.
Where y'all been going on Sunday?
Well, my wife has got all COVID. She's got no energy whatsoever.
When did she have COVID?
She's been going. She just retired September 1st. But I've been visiting around. I've been to Faith.